of six inmates are still on the run after escaping from jail Christmas morning. These are the two alleged fugitives that were caught. Investigators in Tennessee say they made off through a hole behind a toilet. They say a leaky pipe is to blame for the loose screws. While we weren't there, we figured it probably looked like something out of Shawshank Redemption. For InsideEdition.com, I'm Lee Sheps.
Ho, ho, ho. And we're breaking out of the hole. You're listening to Views with a Twist. On this December 30th, 2016, my name is GDR on your iTunes, Android, your iOS, CardinalMinute.com, John Robinson at writers.org, Tawa Kwan at your-poetry.com. We're also on Pinterest and SoundCloud. Yeah, man, people do crazy things. What can I tell you? You know? It's the way of the world, baby. Anyway, folks, you guys sit back. Hey, the New Year's is coming. The New Year's is coming. It's about time to party. Parties be getting started right now, actually. You know? Hopefully y'all rocking with me, baby. Sit back, relax, and enjoy.
I'm sure that you've noticed, or I hope that you noticed, that I'm all dressed up tonight, because tonight is our final show of 2016, and also because I scheduled my annual Eyes Wide Shut orgy afterward. By the way, don't forget, if you're attending, the password is Yes, and that's a capital... Oh, please, don't forget. Now, here at The Daily Show, because we hate ourselves, we have an annual tradition of looking back at the year that was. And 2016 is a year that'll stay with us forever. Like herpes. This was the year that started with Zika and then went bad. You realize if Harambe had lived, he would have killed himself. But let's be honest, 2016 wasn't the worst year. It was only bad for some people. If we're honest about it, it was bad for some people. You know, like if you were black, then this was a bad year for you. But for everyone, okay, and if you were Muslim, it was a bad year for you as well. But for, and if you were a woman, I can admit... pretty bad. And if you were from the transgender community, then as well, you as well. Refugees and immigrants, pretty much everyone, but not everyone, but everyone. Other than that, everyone had a good year. Oh, and polar bears. Polar bears and animals in general, really bad year. So, yeah, good year all around. And tonight, with the help of the whole Daily Show team, we celebrate the end of 2016. To kick things off, please welcome Desi Leidick, everybody.
Trevor, you're right. 2016 was the stinky end of a baboon's ass. And if there's one thing it will be remembered for, it was the year of the breakup. And we can't talk about breakups without mentioning the big one. When two world powers abandoned all diplomatic efforts and declared an end to their partnership. What the hell, Brangelina? Talk about a bombshell! Although, to be fair, we suspected there was trouble when they adopted a lawyer from Burbank. Moving on. This was probably the ugliest breakup of the year, when America decided to split from decency. You know, I thought those two were gonna last, but then a smooth-talking, copper-plated gargoyle showed up, and America just lost it.
Hail Trump! Hail our people! Hail victory!
Hey, Trump! Trump, all the way!
Because black lives don't matter. There ain't no proof.
Trump is president, asshole, so you can kiss your visa goodbye, scumbag.
Donald Trump! It's your president, every goddamn one of you. If you don't like it, too bad.
Yeah, and that video didn't even show the worst part. That guy brought a tuna sandwich on the plane. Like I said, no decency. But you can't argue that the breakup that started it all was Brexit, which sounds a lot less like a geopolitical catastrophe and more like a gluten-free toddler in Brooklyn. Brexit? What did I say about Fakasha? That's your sister. You be nice to her. By the way, Brexit is a pretty dignified name for such an embarrassing event. I mean, why don't I get that? Why don't the newspapers call it Desparcher instead of local woman kicked out of wine bar? Also, I wasn't selling drugs, okay? I was trading them for cash. Trevor.
You need help, Desi. Hmm? For more news, we turn to Hasan Minhaj, everybody. Hasan. Minhaj. Hasan. Man, what were your thoughts on the year we call 2016?
2016 was awesome, man. Here are my three biggest 2016 headlines. Coming in at number three. Could you believe Hillary Clinton sold weapons to ISIS? How did she manage to send bombs to ISIS and bomb her own campaign here at home? Boom, give it to me up top, right? Yep.
Hasan, that story wasn't real.
Totally. It was unreal. But not as unreal as my number two story, when reporters dug up an old quote where Donald Trump said, and I quote, "If I were to run, I'd run as a Republican. They're the dumbest group of voters in the country."
Hasan, I'm going to cut you off right there. That news story is also false, man. I don't think your sources are credible.
They are incredible, Trevor. Especially my number one story of 2016, Pope Francis himself endorsing Donald Trump.
All of those news stories are completely fake. You're talking about fake news, man.
Oh, yeah. All this stuff is made up. These stories are faker than my Air Gordons. And sure, they melt when it rains, but no one cares. Just like no one cares about whether the news is real or fake. Look at Facebook. Just before the election, the top five fake news stories were more popular than the top five real news stories.
Yeah, but Hasan, I don't understand. If fake news is everywhere now, then how do we fight back?
Fight back? Embrace it, Trevor. Come January, Donald Trump is going to be our president. The next 4 years are going to be so f***ed up, we're going to be begging for fake news.
That's a good point.
Because the real news will actually be unbelievable.
Hasan Minhaj, everybody. You make a good point, my friend. Thank you so much. For the year in sports, let's turn to Roy Wood Jr., everybody. Roy Wood Jr. in the house. What's up, Roy?
Trevor, this was the year that everything was political, and sports was no exception. Let's start with Colin Kaepernick. This dude put his ass on the line for civil rights, and he was so good at it. Like, most of us, just to get notice to a cause, we have to take to the streets or block traffic or join a group text and learn a chant. Kaepernick just refused to stand. That's brilliant. That's a game changer. Look, I'm protesting right now.
What are you protesting, Roy?
Black. I'm fed up. But it wasn't just Kaepernick. Even the Super Bowl halftime show got political. Beyonce reminded y'all she was black, and some of y'all couldn't handle it. Hell, they were so shell-shocked, they had to call in some emergency whiteness to offset Beyonce's blackness. Bring in the Coldplay, emergency Coldplay. 718. This is not a drill. Next time Bruno Mars does the Super Bowl, I can guarantee you, man, if he get too black, they gonna hit a button, Mitt Romney gonna pop out the floor with a tambourine.
Hey, but Roy, all right, you can't tell me that every single sports story was political this year.
Oh, really? Even my team, Trevor, the Cubs, Trevor. Nate Silver said they had the same chance of winning as Trump. Then the Cubs won, and I couldn't even enjoy myself because all I was thinking about was, yay, the Cubs won! Oh, God, Trump's the president. Look, I get that politics and sports are never going to be totally separate, but if it's going to be in my sports, then it's got to be in all the sports. When Michael Phelps get in the pool, I want to see him doing the black stroke. I don't know what that is, but sounds right. Tennis players, look at tennis. All they do is yell anyway. You may as well say something and make it count. Stop and frisk. Electoral college. Bring back the McRib.
Whoa. Why is the McRib political?
Trevor, pork is a very divisive meat.
I mean, Roy Wood Jr., everybody. Roy Wood Jr. I don't know why the McRib wants us to come into it. Now, 2016 was another banner year for the internet. Unfortunately, that banner usually said, you've been hacked, comrade. But to look back at some of the biggest social media trends of 2016, we turn to our senior social media correspondent, Ronnie Chang, everybody.
Thanks, Trevor. Thanks, Trevor. Thank you. Thanks, Trevor. 2016 was the year of the stupid internet challenge. Let's start with the biggest one, the mannequin challenge. Yeah, the challenge of not moving while someone takes a video of you. Congratulations, idiots, you just invented the photograph. How did this lazy-ass flash mob start? It's like, hey guys, let's find a way for people with no talent to get famous on the internet, okay? Trust me, you don't even have to move for this one. That's how this year was. Standing still for 10 seconds without crying is now an official challenge. The worst part? This mannequin crap wasn't even the dumbest challenge of the year. Oh no, that award goes to the backpack challenge. Kids walking down hallways having backpacks thrown at their heads? That's not a challenge, that's high school, all right? Yeah, it happened to me every day. I didn't trend once. And finally, the viral internet phenomenon that is the water bottle challenge.
Oh, I got it!
That last video was from a high school talent show. I know, look at the reaction. Every dance troupe there must have been like, what the f***? I've been training for a year. By the way, you know where that talent show did not take place? Flint, Michigan. Exactly, yeah. Because right now, Flint is like, hey, how about flipping some of those bottles this way? Yeah, because here, every day is a water bottle challenge. You flipping f***s. No. In fact, from now on, there is only one person who is allowed to do any challenge. And I don't know his name, but he's from Brazil. Yeah, that's right. See? That's viral. But the rest of you, enough with these easy, attention-seeking internet challenges, please.
No, Ronnie, I'm sorry. I feel like you're hating, man. The water bottle challenge is real. That's hot. It's not easy. Here, I'll give you a bottle. Here, I've got a bottle of water here. You try to do it. It's not easy.
What, are you challenging me right now?
I'm challenging you to do the water bottle challenge.
Oh, yeah,
it's not
do it.
Come on. Yeah. Do it.
Look at me. Look how hard this is. Oh, my God. Am I going to be an internet superstar if I nail this?
Let's see. Do it.
Oh, it's a water bottle challenge. Wow. Oh,
yeah, you see?
Wait, give me one more chance. One more
it's
try.
It's a lot harder than it seems.
Yeah. Okay, stop giving me pressure. Okay, one second. Oh, yeah, that's right. Are you filming that? Did you film that? Post that right now. We're going viral. Yeah.
We're all very happy for you, Ronnie Chang. Hey there, thanks for watching. If you liked that video, click below to subscribe or click here to delete the internet. Yes, you found the button.
Listening to Views with a Twist on this December 30th, 2016. Just a day and a few hours away from the introduction of 2017. And thank God, actually, because let me tell you, 2016, in my opinion, was a bitch. Let me tell you. 2016, we lost a lot of people that we grew up with, and, you know, a lot of shocking deaths And just the last two with Debbie Reynolds and the daughter, and it's just... we got Trump as president. I mean, this is just, you know, I mean, the next 4 years is just going to be totally bananas. But, let's be thankful. Let's be thankful that we got 2016 behind us, because it was really tough. It was really tough. All right. Fuse with a twist. Your iTunes, your Android, your iOS, Podomatic.com, John Robinson at writers.org, or writerscafe.org, Tawa Kwan at your-poetry.com. We're on Pinterest and SoundCloud. I'll be back.
Amid a huge search for Sunday's downed Russian military plane, several large fragments of the jet have been pulled from the Black Sea. But initial claims that the aircraft's fuselage has been sighted have been denied. More than 3,500 personnel, including 150 divers, are said to be involved in the massive operation. A spokesperson for Russia's defense ministry said, using acoustic imaging, we've established a radius of about 500 meters in which the wreckage has been spread. The average depth of the fragments is about 30 meters, allowing us to use all the search and rescue equipment we have at our disposal. More than 10 bodies and scores of body parts have been recovered from the crash site. The plane came into service in 1983, and Russian officials increasingly think a technical fault or pilot error were behind the accident. Russia's transport minister said a terrorist act is not being considered to be the most likely cause. We increasingly believe the reason for this disaster was either technical or pilot error. For the moment, the Syria-bound plane's black box flight recorders have not yet been found. Officials admit locating them will be a challenge, as they were not fitted with radio beacons.
We'll be right back.
me tell you something. You know, you heard that sound bite about the Russian aircraft that went down, and, you know, that's a tragic thing, the orchestra. You know, you never want anything like that to happen, even to your so-called enemies. And speaking of enemies, I mean, speaking of the Russians, this whole thing, this whole back and forth with Obama and Vladimir Putin, yeah, that's kind of crazy. I was just thinking about that just the other day, as a matter of fact, this morning. And I was thinking to myself, my God, you know, they're pushing it to, to the brink of somebody pushing a button here. And thank God, Vladimir Putin backed down. And here's what I'm thinking. And I know a lot of you will disagree with me, and it's fine. He backed down because of Donald Trump. That's right, because he and Donald Trump have such a good relationship with one another that Vladimir said, you know what? Obama's out on the 20th. Trump is in. Let me just chill out. Trump will be in, and, you know, we'll mend everything. That's a good thing. That's a good thing, folks. I didn't vote for Donald Trump, okay? But I'm telling you, right now, the guy's batting 1,000. Okay? He's batting 1,000. He's doing really, really well. And he hasn't even been sworn in yet. So this is going to be an interesting 4 years. I am really in suspense here. Anyway, you're listening to Views with a Twist. My name is JDR. I'll be back later.
Yeah. I'm going to sing and dance and carry on and act silly till I just kick it like I told you.
Not long ago, Debbie Reynolds talked about the prospect of her own death in a now poignant interview. She had just published a best-selling memoir, Unsinkable, and told me her final wish.
I'd like to clear this all up before I kick the bucket. Because, you know, when you're gone, right, everybody says what they want to say.
Don't say things like kick the bucket.
I can't believe I'm still here. Are you kidding? It's 65 years in show business.
Debbie Reynolds burst into the national scene at age 19 in one of the greatest musicals ever made, Singing in the Rain.
Good morning.
Good morning.
She went on to a legendary career that spanned seven decades, including the epic How the West Was Won.
The stars, oh how bright they'll shine.
And an Oscar-nominated performance in the unsinkable Molly Brown.
That ship may be down, but not me. I'm unsinkable.
It's amazing to me that I'm in show business because no one in my family is from show business. So for me to have been lucky enough to land in the golden era in this really wonderful business, it's just sort of like an out-of-body experience.
Debbie's marriage to pop singer Eddie Fisher ended in one of the great scandals in Hollywood history. Eddie abandoned Debbie to marry her best friend, screen siren Elizabeth Taylor. Debbie revealed that Frank Sinatra, of all people, had warned her not to marry Eddie Fisher.
He said, I don't want you to marry Eddie. And, of course, I was rather aghast at this. I don't want you to marry a singer because you can't trust them. They all cheat. All singers cheat.
Years later, Debbie was able to forgive Liz. They reconciled on a transatlantic ocean crossing.
I decided in my room to send her a note stating, this is silly. Let's get together and have dinner and talk about it.
Married three times, Debbie candidly admitted she had terrible taste in men.
I still believe in love, but it just doesn't happen to me. It isn't that I don't believe in it, and that it's wonderful if you can really find someone that adores you, but that hasn't happened for me. And so I think three strikes, and that's enough of that.
Debbie and her daughter, Carrie Fisher, had a turbulent relationship. They didn't speak for 10 years. Carrie wrote about it in her novel, Postcards from the Edge, made into a movie with Meryl Streep as the Carrie character and Shirley MacLaine as Debbie Reynolds.
From the time I was 9 years old, you gave me sleeping pills.
That was over-the-counter medication, and
no.
I gave it to you because you couldn't sleep.
Children sleeping pills.
But they reconciled and even performed together.
Happy days are here again.
She was worried about Carrie when I spoke with her. These words seem so heartbreaking today.
How's Carrie doing?
She's doing very well now. She had sort of she is a manic depressive, you know, so sometimes she has a breakdown.
Is it tough for you, as I know it must be, as a mom to read news stories? Yeah.
Well, you worry about them. You know, are they going to make it?
Good morning.
Even in her 80s, she could still belt out a tune.
Good morning. Good morning. It's great to stay up late. Good morning. Good morning to you and you and you and you, everybody.
And RIP to Debbie Reynolds and her daughter, Carrie Fisher. It's, you know, it's a sad, and it's a, in some ways, a strange thing. But, you know, listen, a broken heart, that's real. I remember when I lived in Germany, I had a friend that was, he was older, he was in his 70s, and so was his wife, and his wife had a heart attack, and she was in the hospital for a while, and it wasn't looking very good, and she finally passed away, and they took him, and they put him into a old folks home, to where he didn't last a week before he was dead. And I know he died of a broken heart because his wife was everything to him. Everything. She was his night and day. You know, she was his up and down. She was everything to him. And, you know, it was apparent to me and obvious to me that he couldn't live without her. And God bless the both of them. And I'd like to give my shout outs to the NYPD, the FDNY, SOS Wildlife of India, North Shore Animal League, ASPCA, Alamada Freunde in Deutschland, everyone that listens to me. The New Year's is coming up, folks. I hope you guys are safe, healthy. You have a great party. Don't get too wasted. You know, go out and, I don't know, maybe you're going to stand in the cold and watch the ball drop. I don't know, whatever you do, be safe at it. Have a good time. And thank you for listening to me. And I will see you next year.
For all of us at the ASPCA, working to save the lives of animals is on our minds every day. And in the past year, I've been inspired by the outpouring of support we've received from members like you. Thousands of animals have been saved from deplorable conditions by our emergency responders, and thousands more were given life-saving medical treatment, and still even more were impacted by the passage of humane animal welfare laws in states across the country, laws that you helped us fight for. Whether rescuing innocent dogs from the horrors of dogfighting, responding to natural disasters, or putting an end to the cruel and inhumane practices on factory farms, our commitment to giving a voice to the voiceless is renewed every day. But our work depends on the dedicated support of people like you. Every day, I am thankful for those who take time out to volunteer, to share our stories, and to donate. Thank you for making this another year of progress for animals and for saving lives with us every day.
Another who tied me down to the lover boy rules.
Before